see something strange.
Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm.
It's our town.
Everybody's free.
This town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home. Everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Round that corner and hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting now to pounce and how you scream.
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
It's slightly green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice.
Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream. Everybody scream.
Donna the Trace!
I am the who in the cold who's there.
I am the wind blowing through your hair.
I am the shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween,
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Tinderlumblings everywhere. Life's no fun without a good scare.
That's our job.
But we're not mean
in our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now?
Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween, everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
Pumpkin Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king.
Now
this is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home. Everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com on the internet. Thank you, Annabelle, for another great show. Mystic Pete here with the Mystic Pete Chronicles. Every Sunday night, we bring you the best of talk radio. And I have a couple of guests in studio today. Well, my co-host, Christine, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, Christine's going to help out tonight. And then we have... Well, a few guests coming tonight. Professor Cootie is actually here.
That's true. I am here in the studio after traveling the country and doing a full tour of laundromats.
Quite a lineup, actually. A little later, a fellow named Greg Gibbs is coming. And then at the end of the show, we have Dr. Wolfenstein from a Rob Zombie movie, so it's really incredible. Also, the Phantom AD will make a little appearance. So we have Halloween madness tonight, a lot of fun. I hope everybody can pull up their chair right to their radio and pay careful attention. Professor Cootie, talk to me.
How are you? Yes, so great to be here again on Mystic Beats Chronicles for his Halloween special.
You've been here before.
I have, yes. We've done the flea circus on the radio, which is quite something.
Yes. Well, you've been crisscrossing the country with your traveling flea circus, and you are here tonight for a Halloween special appearance. I understand you've brought your spooky fleas.
Yes, spooky fleas, Mystic Pete. I've trained some new performers to pay tribute to the great monsters of horror. These are specially educated fleas who dress in haunted costumes and perform spooky stunts. So right here I have my flea box. Should I show it to Christine over here? Would you like to see the fleas?
Please.
See the
fleas?
My God.
See?
Yeah. And inside
there's
I have...
There's actual fleas in there.
Yes.
Oh, they're moving.
See?
They're real moving. Fleas, oh, my God.
That's right. And right here I have Frankenflea.
Frankenflea?
Yes. Correctamundo. I have operated on a live flea, extracted its brain, and put it into a dead, squished body of another flea. And voila! We have Frankenflea.
Shockingly amazing!
Yes, thank you very much. I've also brought a creature of the night, Count Dracuflea. Count Dracuflea is a vampire pest, a ghastly bloodsucker.
But aren't all fleas bloodsuckers?
Correctamundo, but this one wears a cape. You know, vampire fleas avoid daylight and garlic like the plague, and they started a lot of plagues.
Yeah.
And here, right here, as you can see, I have wolf flea.
Wolf flea?
Yes, it's a flea that turns into a hairy fanged larvae at the stroke of midnight.
Ah.
Yeah, it also howls to the moon.
You can actually hear wolf flea howl.
Well, not really. Its vocal cords are too small. Put it this way. Its bite is worse than its bark. I also have here, let me see here. Where is she? Oh, let me find her. Oh, here she is. The bride of Frankenflea. She's alive! Alive! Sorry about that. And then over here, let me see who's this. Yes, I have... Mummy flea. Yes, as you can see under my magnifying glass, it is wrapped in tiny gauze.
Oh, a mummified flea.
Actually, he's in a sling because he broke his leg. But don't worry, he's got five more. I was working on with a new flea that couldn't be here, unfortunately. It, due to drowning during basic training, it was known as the Fleacher from the Black Fleagoon. Okay, these are the jokes, folks. Don't worry. They only get worse. And lastly, I have here Zomflea.
A Zomflea?
Yes. It is either a flea who turned into a zombie or a zombie who turned into a flea. Take your pick. It's just like the Night of the Living Dead, the insect version. You know, the average flea has enormous strength for its size and can push or pull 1,634 times their body weight. The Zom flea has super freaky flea strength and is able to push or pull 1,635 times their body weight. And so, as you can see here, Mystic Pete, I've brought my cigar box flea circus.
Mm-hmm.
And with Zom flea here... I'm going to demonstrate by showing you his incredible strength by how he can roll a ball. So, see Christine here?
Oh my God.
See?
Look,
yes, here's please. A ball. Now we're going to put the Zom flea on this tiny little ball. You know, to me, you and me, this small ball doesn't weigh very much. But to a flea, it is the size of a Volkswagen Beetle.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Do you get the bug reference?
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Volkswagen.
Okay, and now watch this. As the Zom flea moves this massive amount of weight for a flea. Here he goes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Look,
oh my,
look.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
What do you think, Christine? Isn't that fantastic? The Zom flea?
Wow.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah. How about this? Look at this. I have an even bigger ball. A bigger ball here.
Oh,
check the
feel
weight
it?
Of this ball
okay,
here.
Let me
yeah,
feel it.
We have to be
oh,
careful
oh,
here on the
goodness.
Radio.
Oh, wow. This yeah. is.
That's heavy, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
To you and me, it's still a small little ball. But to a flea, this is the size of a semi truck.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So here we're going to put it on. We put this on. So, Hold on. He's moving around.
Oh, my God. Oh,
here we go. Okay, here we go. Now, we got him. Got him with my tweezers here.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And now, watch as Zomflea moves the big ball. Look at that.
Oh, my.
Is that incredible? And now he'll go a little faster. Look at him go there.
Oh, not wow. It's hard to believe, actually. Yeah. Hard to believe.
Yes. Have you ever seen anything like this before, Christine?
First time.
Ah. Have you ever heard the...
The strongest flea.
The strongest flea,
yeah,
yes. Well, it's a Zom flea. It has super freaky flea you know, is the undead. It's an undead flea that's alive. Don't ask me how it works, you know.
Zomflea.
It's magic. Zomflea.
And now watch this. He will do something else. I'll show him do something else. Watch this. Now, I want you, Christine, to hold this bolt with this screw.
Okay.
Is that a real bolt? Could you feel that? Feels like a metal.
It feels like real.
That looks real. That's brass.
Try the screw. Make sure the screw works on the bolt.
That's
right?
Brass.
Oh, yeah.
Just
okay.
Brass. Real brass, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Christine, we're going to put. I'd like you to screw
magic.
This. Oh, you love magic.
Oh, I love magic.
Well, this is.
Okay, just move it.
Sort of flea. Yes, there you go.
Yes.
She's screwing
all the way,
on.
All the way.
A full bolt, all the way, Christine. So, there we go.
Oh,
okay.
We made it.
It is now screwed.
Oh, yes.
So, and here, now watch. As I put the Zomflea on this bolt, now watch this. He will unspool the bolt. Careful. Zomflea. Stop. Come. Here we go. Here we go. Watch this. Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that. Can you hear it?
That's not possible.
Yes. He's moving it, and he's going to... The bolt has been screwed off... The screw.
Yes.
Whatever that means. But anyway, so lastly with his Zomflea, he's going to flip a dice here. We have a dice here, as you can see, Christine.
Oh, yes.
Now pick a number between 6 and 6.
I like 6.
6? Okay. Now watch this. Zomflea. Flip up. Look at that.
Oh my God.
Can you believe that? I've trained him to do that. Isn't that amazing? Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Oh, wait. Where's it going? Whoa. Zomflea. Come here. Zomflea.
Be careful. I'm allergic to flea bites.
Whoa. Hold on. Excuse me.
Oh, no. What? Did you lose him?
I'm sorry. I'm having some problems here. He's a...
Professor Cootie. We got to find this flea is loose in studio.
No, where is he?
Let's take a musical break while we try to find the Zomflea.
Zomflea, where are you? Hello,
Spiders and sliders and headless horse riders, creaking and shrieking under your bed. Honey toad lizards and green chicken gizzards, they all these things turn.
So we are back, KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, Mystic Pete Chronicles with Professor Cootie.
Yes, I'm here.
Professor Cootie, wow,
yes,
that was a little traumatic.
Sorry about that. We've made a little mess here in the studio, but I have caught the Zomflea, and he is now under a glass bell jar. And as you can see, he's not very happy. He's jumping up and down, repeatedly bumping his head. This is actually how we train and discipline a flea. After hitting his head on the glass ceiling exactly 200 times, he develops a headache and realizes that this is not only painful, but pointless. So they relax and become what we term docile. I think he needs a little extra strength dose of Tylenol, wouldn't you, Christine? Here he goes. Since he is being compatible and being, see, I think he's calmed down enough, Christine, to maybe demonstrate his jumping abilities. Would you like to see his jumping abilities?
Sure.
Well, the Zomflea is quite incredible at jumping. So I'm going to take off the glass jar. I'm going to take off this glass bell jar. He is. I got him. Whoop. I got him right here. Now watch this. He can do a triple somersault from this hand to this hand.
Oh, wow.
Do you see?
Oh.
And we'll do it on a count of 1, 2, flea. Are you ready? Why don't you do the count?
Okay.
Here we go.
1, 2, flea.
One, 2, somersault. Fantastic. Zomflea is not fantastic. He's taking a bow. Let's give him a big hand. Let's give him a big hand.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful.
Christine.
Oh.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Could you describe what happened?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
What happened?
We gave him a big hand and clapped. And
You smashed him?
I guess he's gone like his father and his great-grandfather and his great-grandfather before him. And that was yesterday's matinee.
Oh.
So here, wow. There we go. Off to flea heaven. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the final flea-nale, I'd like to take Frankenflea. And we're going to shoot him from a cannon. Ooh. As you can see, Mystic Pete, we have a cannon here. Now, Christine, if you would like to catch the flea.
I'll try.
Let's try and do that. Let me see here. We're having a little trouble. This is not your normal cannon.
Do you see
this little cannon we have here? We go. The cannon just went off. You know, we're having little issues here with the Frankenflea and the cannon. Perhaps I should tell a joke.
Oh, yeah, let's do humor. Let's
An
do
insect
some.
Joke.
Let's do some. Insect.
It's a moth joke.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, and the podiatrist says, "May I help you?" And the moth says, "I'm having a horrible time. I'm just, my life is just, I want to do myself in. I just want to go into a wall. I can't sleep at night, and I'm having psychotic episodes and a lot of anxiety. And, I just my mind is just racing all the time. I just want to do myself in. I don't know what to do." And the podiatrist says, "I think you need a psychiatrist. This is a podiatrist's office."
Okay.
And the moth says, "I'm sorry. I saw the light was on."
Oh.
Thank you.
Yay.
Big laugh from Christine. Christine,
Professor Cootie.
Thank you. Yes. Well, that is all my fleas today.
All right.
Mystic Pete, anything else?
Well, what do you feed a flea? I mean, what do they eat?
How do I feed the fleas?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. You know, I take care of them and they take care of me. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, can you do the cannon bit with Frankenflea?
Yes, I just tried, and I have to reload my cannon very quickly here. We'll try this again. Perhaps I have problems with these small cannons. The big ones are fantastic, but the small ones, because of the size of a flea, for a flea size, we have to load our cannon, as you can see, Christine. Have you ever seen a cannon of this size?
This is a brass cannon. It's a metal cannon.
Okay.
You wheeled into studio.
Now, Christine, I'd like you to put out your hands. Put out your hands, and we're going to... The flea is...
I'm catching
you,
it.
You have to catch flea.
Catching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, put it out like that. Like a here. Okay. Are you ready? Okay, here
I'm
is
ready.
Frankenflea shot from a cannon. You ready? Here we go. Oh, now let's get a 1-2 flea from you, Christine. Come on.
1-2 flea.
Oh, well, that's a little bit of a dud. So the flea's still in there.
Okay. Let's try again, Professor Cootie. Let's try again.
I've had problems with this cannon before, but let's see. We're going to load this cannon, and then we're going to put Frankenflea inside.
It's a real cannon in studio.
Right?
Yes.
Is that
right?
Oh
a flea-sized cannon.
Yes. Okay. Now we're putting Frankenflea inside. All right. We'll try this. one more time. Christine?
I'm closing my eyes.
No, you have to count.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm
don't close your eyes. You're going to catch the flea.
Can you have to catch the flea. I don't want it getting loose again.
What kind of help do we have here? Put out your hand. Okay, and then you do a one, two, flea. One, two, flea.
One, two, flea.
Ah! One, let's try it again. Luckily, we're on the radio.
Live radio.
Oh, we're gonna... Don't worry, Professor Cootie will take care of the problem.
And the flea is still...
I operate the greatest show in history.
It's still stuck in the cannon.
It's the littlest, but it's the greatest. Now,
the
here we go.
The greatest cannon.
We're
yes.
loading the cannon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Cannon.
Well, this is a KXLU first,
Don't
by
worry,
the way.
Professor okay. Cootie will take care of this in 1 minute... Okay, the cannon is broken. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry.
What happened to Frankenflea?
Frankenflea is inside the cannon. He's waiting to be projected aloft. But, there we go. Now we have unjammed the cannon. Okay, here we go.
Oh, wow.
One last try. Here we
okay,
go.
Okay, okay.
One, two, flea!
There we go.
There
Thank
we go.
You.
Yay. He flew.
That was a great cannon.
Well, now where is he?
Wait! Whoa! Where's Frankenflea? Whoa! Where did he go?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh,
another
no.
loose.
I lost another flea. Oh, he's over here.
Oh no!
He's just as upset as the audience.
I'm so. Gonna swell up if I get a flea. Look, let's take another musical break. I have music from the Phantom AD. An old buddy of mine, and a short interview. Why don't we go to that while we find this loose flea running around the KXLU studios. Here is the brain
the
that
last
wouldn't...
last time I use this cannon, that's all I can say.
Here we go, the brain that wouldn't die.
Just one thing, I gotta know. What you got hiding behind that door? Brain that wouldn't die. The cat was hit it alive. The brain that...
In studio, the Phantom AD. Hi, Phantom AD. Tell me about yourself.
This is the Phantom, baby. I'm happy to be here.
Tell me about the project.
Well, I'm a guitar player and singer and performer, and I play ghoulish rock and roll, which I define as rock and roll in the spirit of the 1950s and 60s, but ghoulish.
You're in the Bay Area right now.
I'm in the Bay Area, but I play around as much as possible. I've got a show coming up in Los Angeles, for example.
Where at?
Redwood Bar on November 15th, Saturday.
Well, what's the cross between rock and roll and Halloween? How do these go together?
That's a good question, because the same time rock and roll came out was about the same time that the Universal horror films came back on TV. So the same kind of generation of people that were listening to the first wave of rock and roll were also watching the classic horror films of the 1930s. And so right at the beginning, there was that connection. And I think it's just continued, at least in my world.
And how did you find yourself into this world?
I've just always been interested in rock and roll, classic horror, early rock and roll. I just always thought that music was exciting. I heard it when I was young on the radio. There used to still be oldies radio. It just kind of naturally came to me from my surroundings.
What were some of your influences specifically?
Specifically, was Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Little Richard, Elvis, Dick Dale on guitar, and then the great Bela Lugosi, who's not a musician, but he was just visually and spiritually an influence.
Did you ever see Lon Chaney's work?
I love Lon Chaney, senior, even more than junior. But yes, those old silent films are great. The Man of a Million Faces.
And even this old version of Frankenstein, it's like this external monster, but he ends up having a great heart and being very kind, and you kind of weep for him when the townspeople come and try to kill him.
It's a tragedy, yet he comes back in Bride of Frankenstein, which also doesn't have a happy ending, but the story continues.
There's so many monstrous things in the world right now. I guess this is getting a little lofty for the conversation, but, you know, we wonder if horror music, horror movies contribute to the dysfunction of society or somehow help us process it. Any thoughts about that? The big question.
Yeah, I find that it has the effect of bringing people together, because people love rock and roll and people love old horror movies. That's why you can still see screenings of Dracula and Frankenstein and Vincent Price films in movie theaters in a way that you can't of movies that are, you know, more critically and highly regarded decades after they've been released. And I think the same is true of rock and roll, and people come together at my shows and make friends, and I make friends with them. So I think there's a sense of community and camaraderie around these things.
Well, we've all had a monster in our closet. We've all had a monster under our bed. Perhaps that's the monster inside of us. And by role-playing, playing it out, having fun with it, expressing it through art and costume and rock and roll, perhaps that's a way to channel it. So it's in a fun, positive way than like having it come out in some mean kind of sideways direction.
Yeah, I think so. And it's also just kind of a matter of excitement. You know, like if I said, you want to see a horror movie, that's more exciting than if I said, you want to see a movie. So it just has an element of excitement. I think rock and roll is the same way when done right. It's exciting immediately.
Well, what can someone expect when they come to see a Phantom AD show?
A ghoulish rock party, and you're invited.
Well, the music is a lot of fun. I've watched some of your videos, and we're all having a good time here.
Yes, that's the idea. That's my goal, is I want everybody to have a good time. The people that come to the show, but even the people that are working the show.
Where can people find you online?
TheFantomAD.com. Also on all the social media, on all the streaming music things. The Phantom AD. You'll find me. Mystic Pete, so wonderful talking to you. Keep rocking. Stay ghoulish.
We'll see you at the Redwood Bar on November 15th. Boo!
I go where the party takes me. Dracula's castle. Frankenstein's den. The mummy's tomb is where I've been. Woken up from a century's sleep. Now it's time for a big party. It's one bottle, two bottle, three.
party down the way, won't you come on by?
It's a one bottle, two bottle, three bottle, four.
A puff of smoke and I'm out the door. Find those things, you will find me. I go where the party takes me. For a fright, party with the ghouls all through the night, sleep through the day and do it all again. Coolest rock party and you're invited.
One bottle, two bottle, three bottle, four.
A puff of smoke and a powder nose. Find those things, you will find me. I go where the party takes me.
So this is KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com, all around the world. Mystic Pete here with a show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. Professor Cootie had to take off, so I hope everybody can stick around. We have some more guests coming pretty soon. Greg Gibbs will be here. But I wanted to interview my co-host a little bit, Christine, who grew up in the Philippines. And there's a tradition around the world of various holidays around this time of year that celebrate the thinning of the veil between the dimensions, let us put it that way. There's All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve, Dia de los Muertos, Samhain. So these are all holidays right around this time of year, harvest festivals. And in the Philippines, they have All Souls Day.
Yes.
So why don't you explain about that? You grew up, what area was it actually in the Philippines?
I grew up in a town called Tarlac City.
Okay.
And in a small province, La Paz, Tarlac.
And so tell us about All Souls Day.
It's a beautiful celebration for everybody because everybody light a candle for their family member who passed and offer a flower and offer a beautiful prayer.
So it's a very spiritual holiday. It's not
kids
running around in costumes wanting trick or treat.
No, growing up, we are more into a spiritual soul with family. So it's the time of the year where we come to visit them, to celebrate this special day for them, to offer it special for them. So it's very...
It's a sacred holiday,
yes,
and it's a very it's very Catholic over there.
Everybody is
Catholic. And there's rituals about going to the cemetery.
Yes. So we go to the cemetery, and we make sure that everything is clean and offer a flower and a candle and a prayer for everybody who passed. And to remember them.
To remember your relatives.
Yes.
And some of them were alive in your lifetime and some you just heard about, great grandparents and so forth.
Yes.
I understand they sometimes even take a few days before. Also, what do they do for the graveyard?
To prepare everything, they go to the cemetery and clean the, you know,
they clean up the grave sites
and
put out flowers.
Yeah, flowers and everything.
And when you were a kid, you saw this happening.
Yes. So the tradition that we have here and in the Philippines is different because growing up in my town, I remember more of praying and offering than here.
Here it's like, more like spooky.
Fun. Decoration, candies, chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And
And there it's more of a sacred tradition.
Didn't
you live near a
cemetery? Yes.
And how was that? Every time of year, everybody would come around, right?
So it's a very special thing that we do that everybody who are far from our cities, or I guess the whole town, will come and do something to show, you know, the dead or the souls that they are remembered.
Respect.
Yeah, respected.
Dead.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
And do people actually believe the spirits, the angels
they
are coming?
Yeah. They believe that on the November 1st, all the souls will come and so the opera prayer.
Did you ever feel like you could feel that yourself or sense these angels, your ancestors coming?
I always pray, and I think they're always here. So even it's not All Souls Day, I always pray to offer for everybody.
Do you think they're guiding us like guardian angels?
Yes. Yes.
But I know it's sometimes hard to talk about this very intimate thing.
Yes, but yeah, I believe that they're always here guiding us, lighting our way.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can just feel them if you open your heart and open your mind. Your guardian angels. And you know how your grandparents and you know how much they loved you.
That's beautiful.
So maybe they're still loving you even from the other side, right?
I'm grateful for everybody, for all the souls, for my relatives, and you know, yeah.
All the people who came before
yes,
you,
yes,
who wish you well and love you.
Yes. All yes, right. Not only me, but for everyone.
All right. Thank you for sharing, Christine, your memories from back home.
All beautiful. Thank you.
So let's go in a little different direction right now, and I'm going to play a piece of music from the movie called House of a Thousand Corpses by Rob Zombie, and Greg Gibbs was the production designer of that movie and played Dr. Wolfenstein, the very first person you see. So here's a little music from House of a Thousand Corpses, and then we're going to have Greg Gibbs here live in studio.
Yeah.
right, we're back. KXLU, Mystic Pete Chronicles. And now I have in studio Greg Gibbs, who is the production designer for the movie that song, what, that was the theme song.
Of House of Thousand Corpses,
you,
that's right.
Yeah, and you played Dr. Wolf. Well, introduce yourself.
Dr. Wolfenstein.
You do so many things, Greg Gibbs. I'm going to let
you. Well, thank you, Pete.
Please, Peter. Take over.
Oh, well, I'm here with the new book. It's actually a tome, coffee table book called House of a Thousand Corpses, and it's all about the making of the film. The book includes a ton of my photos, my designs, my set designs, architectural designs, character designs, and so forth that were used to make the film. And the story of making the film is quite extraordinary.
Well, let's hear a little about it.
Okay, well, we shot House of Thousand Corpses on the back lot of Universal Studios for an entire year. So we started in February and pretty much finished before Christmas, and then went on to shoot more stuff after Universal dropped the picture. I'll get to that. But what happened is I was designing Rob Zombie's videos on his first album. And he decided to do a video for every song on his first album. So what he would do is he would get money to do one of the big hit songs, like, for instance, Living Dead Girl. And we'd make a budget, sort of a fake budget. And on that project, we would piggyback other videos. In the year of 1999, we went through the process of making 12 music videos for his first album. And while we were making these, Rob was talking about an idea he had for a feature film. And really, Rob's big dream has always been to direct horror films. In fact, he would even joke that the music career is a hobby, you know, that he really wants to direct films. And he was talking about he had a title, House of a Thousand Corpses, which I thought was a great title. And he didn't have much, but maybe a couple characters. One character that we came up with while we were making these videos was a crazed doctor who was I wore the skin mask, right. And I played the doctor, and that was Dr. Satan. And Dr. Satan really figures prominently in the film of House of a Thousand Corpses. We did this video, and it was basically an improv of me and this crazed, ghoulish doctor operating on a patient. And that was the beginnings of sort of the main character of the film that the film becomes about. What happened is during that year, Blair Witch Project came out. And Blair Witch Project scared the hell out of Hollywood. And they just blew their minds how a film that was made for $30,000.
Lo-fi, right.
Ended up making close to $50 million. And so they were looking for, everybody was looking in Hollywood, was looking for a little horror film that didn't cost anything that they could just, you know, make money on and would bring in big returns. 'Cause the horror genre is very profitable. It's a massive genre, and the fans are extremely dedicated to the films that they love and what goes along with it. So Rob ended up going to Universal offices with a script that was barely written and had tons of grammatical errors and misspellings and was kind of this thrown together script that he had, and sold the idea to make this film. And his pitch was, just give me $1 million and leave me alone, and I'll give you a film, and you're bound to make your money. You have to make your money. You know, it's a built-in, as they say. So they did it. But what happened is very kind of as we started the process of pre-production, things started to be a little bit more than we thought they would. And he would make requests for things. I was the production designer. And, you know, I was sort of rolled over from doing the music videos. And he would come up with ideas and be sort of like, well, how are we going to afford to do that? And what happened is Universal just started giving us more money. And the budget grew to maybe 3 million. We were working with 3 million, and my art department became a little bit bigger and had a bigger construction crew. And then it turned into 5 million. We'll just make it a 5 million film. You know, we're going to make money anyway. So what? It costs nothing for your average film. And it grew a little bit more. And then we finished shooting, and we really didn't have a movie. We had no ending. But we had a really cool looking film because my art department, we decided to make everything ourselves, not rent stuff or have stuff, have shops make things for which you typically do for, you know, if you have a, you need certain props or costumes or, you know, we had a lot of masks in our film and we had a lot of artwork because Rob loves art and he loves the art department. So I sort of had free rein to do whatever I wanted, and I hired artist friends who worked in a warehouse, and we made everything. And by that, I mean we had a museum in the show, Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen, and it was a, you know, we wanted to make it look like a real museum of oddities and, other horror elements. Sort of combined in one of these sort of classic encyclopedic museums of oddities and sideshow, you name it. I mean, all kinds of underground sort of artwork, art-related things. And so we made everything. And we made all the masks that the family wears at the dinner scene, for instance, and on and on and on. And the film grew and grew. And since we didn't have a film, Universal gave us more money to make an ending for the film.
At first.
Yeah. And so I made my sets started getting bigger. I made this massive catacomb with 35-foot ceilings. And we had, that was our great, you know, the big finale at the end. And we worked on this film on the back lot of Universal with the trams going by, and we used one of the houses that are on the back. It was the best little whorehouse in Texas house that I transformed into the House of the Thousand Corpses. And by the end of the year, Universal was kind of, you know, interested in what we had, you know. And so they – because we were just on this back lot having – you know, having a
fun.
Crazy time. Right. Let me just tell you.
Getting I mean,
yeah, we're right under the Psycho House, and the parties at the Psycho House, you know, on Friday night, I'm telling you, it was out of control. And, you know, we all had passes to the back lot. And those days, pre-9/11, you know, the back lot was much more open, and people could come in and out. And, you know, now it's all locked down. It's a totally different world now than what we were working with in the year 2000. So Universal finally said, you know, we want to see what you guys have been up to. What are you guys doing? And we showed them the film, what we had. And I'll never forget the head of Universal turning to Rob, Stacy Snyder, that's her name. And she said, we'll never release this. And that was it. And so what we did is, Rob still had ideas to include in the film. So we continued shooting, and we actually shot some scenes in my art studio. I actually built sets in my own art studio, and we shot scenes from House of Thousand Corpses in there. We just kept going. We pretended like we're just going to finish this movie, keep making this movie. It was like it would never end. And I'll never forget the day when the LA Times had a headline, and I used to get the LA Times back when it was a newspaper. And the headline said, Universal drops Rob Zombie movie. And I called up Rob and I said, did you see that they've announced that they've dropped the movie? I mean, that's it. It's all over. And it was really a touching moment for him because I think he thought, that's it. There goes my dream of making movies, and this one I made, you know, will never be released. Universal's going to dump it and squash it, and it'll never see the light of day. And what happened is, 3 years later, it came out. It became a cult phenomenon.
Let's hear a little bit of the tune called Everybody Scream for Dr. Wolfenstein. And perhaps we can get him in studio for a few minutes, Greg Gibbs.
Attention, boils and ghouls, it's time for Dr. Wolfenstein's Creature Feature Show.
Dr. Wolfenstein is in studio now.
Ah, the doctor is in. Yeah.
Dr. Wolfenstein, the
yes.
Classic.
I am here, your ghost host with the most.
I love it. Very beginning of the movie, House of a Thousand Corpses.
That's right. I opened the movie, and from there it's downhill. don't scream, don't move, don't turn your radio dial, because it's an honor to be on the Mystic Pete Chronicles Halloween Spectacular. Ah, yes, and now I'd like to take over a DJ. Yes, it's a Halloween movie marathon. Oh, we're not doing the movies. We're going to play songs because I'm a DJ. I will be with you till the end. And right now we're going to hear the theme song from my favorite TV show, The Munsters.
Well, Greg Gibbs, quite a ride, Christine. Wow, with that wonderful radio voice and your lovely laugh. So great. See, I knew you as an artist from way back. I collect your art. I love it. You are a really multi-talented guy, writer. You've produced many shows. And, of course, probably maybe best known as Dr. Wolfenstein. You have a lot of fans. People line up to get your signature.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I just did a private autograph signing, and I signed all kinds of ephemera related to the film. The film has so much merch. Associated with it. I mean, action figures and coffee, candy, coloring books, this new massive book that shows the making of it, which I highly recommend for any fan. It's the House of a Thousand Corpses fans are fanatical.
You have a two-headed calf museum?
I have the two-headed calf museum, in a permanent installation in San Francisco, which is I co-founded with a collector who happens to named Henry S. Rosenthal, who happens to own the largest collection of two-headed calves in the world. Isn't stuffed.
And what else have you done recently that we can look for? What's your website?
Oh, well, I'm working on the website. The website's under construction,
okay,
actually.
Well, you can...
So I'll say it anyway, and you can look it up later. But greggibbs.com, I thought I'd be creative.
And also on Instagram, Greg Gibbs.
I'm on Greg Gibbs on Instagram.
By the way, what's your relationship to Professor Cootie?
Well, Professor Cootie's my new project that I've been working on, which is a flea circus, and I'm very excited about developing a show. you know, over the years, I've worked with so many different people, and when you make movies, you have to work with a lot of different people, you know, group of... and so I wanted to work on a project where I didn't have to answer or work with anybody but myself. So it's just me and the fleas, and it's sort of a conceptual version of the classic flea circus.
I love it. We're in the final few moments of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. Christine, you can be found at
CA90048.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, any last words before we make room for Pat with Alien Air?
Happy Halloween!
That's coming.
So grateful to be here.
Yay. Thank you so much for coming.
Our pleasure,
Mr.
Pete.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Have a beautiful night.
My ancient soul
listening to
88.9.